Go live. That is us now live on Instagram Live. Welcome to Around AFI. I'm your host, Neil Adams. Rhino's already in the chat. Ready for the comments?
I'm ready for it.
Joined as always are my lovely co-hosts in Rob, the Chippy Ref, and Curtis McCosh.
Good evening.
I've had better days, mate. I've had better days.
I've had the best day ever.
It's been a very strange day, but joining us this week is the one and only Ty Henry. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How you doing? Zooming that in.
Absolutely fantastic. I suppose we have a lot of topics to get into here before we start actually talking to Ty. First one is, Rob, what's that there behind you there?
My jersey from Dundee.
Right, do you want to tell us, tell the people all about what the fluff you were playing at?
Yeah, no, I can't do. So, as you know, wasn't well Saturday night. I basically hadn't eaten up until that time, but 3:30 in the afternoon. Now everyone's saying I should have got it at half time. Tried my best, ordered my chip, went up to the car, came down to pay the cash. But literally as I was getting handed the tip, I got the call from the Whitecap. We're starting the game. So I just sprinted to the sideline, obviously with chips in hand. I was starving. You know, what was I meant to do? Just throw them down in the bin?
Yes,
I don't 100%.
Know. Yeah, 100%.
Fair enough. But basically, as I was telling you before, I didn't need a single chip during any plays. What I waited for was the play to end. You know, a huddle to be taking place. Had a couple of chips. Waited until I was sort of done eating. Didn't eat the whole thing, by the way, guys. I waited until I was satisfied and threw them away. But yeah.
I think it makes it worse if you didn't even finish the fucking things.
I could have, but I imagine people would have been unhappy because they were definitely having a go at me anyway. But obviously we've had a chat about it, and I definitely could have dealt with it better. So sorry about that. But it's happened now, and there's nothing I can do about it at this point. It's happened.
Yes, we had the director of officiating on the phone to me today, Steve Moles. He was not very happy. Thankfully, he wasn't too angry and just was happy enough with me telling Rob off and making sure he wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, I won't
do
it again.
Rob's not going to do it again.
Yeah, no, it doesn't picture me in a good light because that was a very snug jersey. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very snug jersey, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the second thing we have to touch on at the minute before we get into talking with Ty is with the Antrim Jets forfeiting their game against the Mavericks. That was not an easy decision to do. It was a committee decision. It was voted on. We didn't have the players for the game, basically. We probably could have went down with 11, 12 players, but unfortunately the committee decided against it, and we move on. For the next game, we are not folding. Yes, we are struggling four players, but we do have enough players to keep us going, hopefully for the rest of the season, and then we'll hopefully go for a big push on recruitment. But yeah, it's not easy at the minute, but we're hoping to fulfill all the rest of our games if we can. It's just been this week has been very, 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 very hard getting the players.
Yep.
Sort of thing. There's people off, there's people injured, there's people retired, so it's been a very busy week with a load of shit. And AFI memes still taking bets on the fold in the DMs.
Oh,
thanks for that.
And I have to say the best meme, AFI memes, if you if you're taking bets, is definitely that P Diddy one. I like that one.
The P Diddy one was his favorite meme.
You
got player of the week as well.
You know what? That's inconsequential. I used to get that all the time when I actually played, so it's fine. the P. Diddy one, just based off what's going on in the media with him at the minute, that made me laugh.
Yeah. There was people that talked about that thought it was funny, but obviously there was people that were like, what the bluff, take your job seriously and all that, carry on. But it was, you know, you can't see the funny side of it. He didn't mean anything malicious or anything mad about it. Like, he's just a hungry boy.
And no. I didn't get this size by mistake, guys. I've got a fillet.
Yeah. So anyway, Ty, that's all that done. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Hanging out.
How is the knee?
All things considered, decent. Depends on how you would grade a knee, but not bad.
How the hell are you hopping about?
That's what I said, the gecko blood working overtime, is it?
What's that? Yeah, I'm just trying to get back to where it is before, so that if you do cut in there and stuff, you can kind of come back quicker. Otherwise, you're going to lose that quad and all the stuff around it and your stability pretty quickly.
Is that not sore as fluff?
No, doesn't really hurt at all. It's just mostly just kind of the damage that's inside of it, trying to work around that, and your knee kind of explodes straight away. And so trying to get that swelling back down to get all of the extension and flexion back so you can kick, basically do a butt kick or kind of kick all the way out in front of you. It's kind of the two main goals once it happens, get all of that range of motion back. So.
And is that you for the season, or are you kind of doing Aaron Rodgers?
Trying to do an Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, so it's like an ACL. An ACL surgery is probably like 9 months, 12 month kind of return.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of do the stuff beforehand, the couple weeks to really get the swelling down, get the knee mobile again. And then after the surgery, that kind of length of return. So yeah, Adrian Peterson, probably the most famous one that worked out well. He did one in like December and then came back that next year for his 2012 kind of MVP. RG3 was the ACL that he did, and then was able to get back kind of by the start of the next year. So that's kind of the timeline.
The timeline is trying to make it for the start of next season?
Yeah. That would be the timeline that you would kind of aim at mostly with ACLs.
Yeah.
A year, 9 months to a year, Jesus. Get it right between them.
Hey, what are you going to do with yourself, man?
Coach football.
Yeah.
Hang out. Yeah. I've played enough. So I help the other guys, teach them how to play quarterback and stuff, and coach the offense.
Who exactly is your backup?
So we've taught like 5 different guys, and we're trying to basically treat it as almost any other position, whether it's a lineman or a receiver or anything. And just once you've kind of learned this, make sure you learn that, make sure you could call the play from the quarterback, or if you're the back, or if you're a receiver, to make kind of multifunctional guys. So Sam Duran, he used to be the Wexford Eagles quarterback. He's on our team. He's a receiver for us. Greg Johnson is a receiver for us. He went in last game, but we were about to put Sam in kind of when the game kind of ran out of time. We still had a guy named Joe Kraus that plays DB that's playing some quarterback. We tried another young kid that's a receiver named Tommy Breslin. So we're going to, try a bunch of guys.
Who's in the lead?
Who's who in the zoo? We'll see how it goes between now and the game. Best, Sam Duran's played for 5 years. So functionally, as having been a quarterback and that kind of command, is Sam. Greg is just a great athlete, obviously, at all sorts of sports and skills and talents. Same with Joe. And then Tommy's a decent little athlete too. So if you put just good athletes there and then just teach them the fundamentals. But yeah, that's kind of where it's at. But we're not, it's not too big of a concern. A lot of talent.
Nice that you're saying that about yourself.
Yeah.
That it's not too big of a concern.
Get me out of the way.
Must be handy having 5 backups. That'd be great.
Yeah. Try to work in a bunch of different guys.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it just shows the difference in teams.
If you know,
you have 5 backups.
We're lucky at times if we have 5 O-line.
Yeah, But if you know quarterback, then you'll be able to transition back to tackle. Like I was thinking about trying my right tackle even because he'd played a little bit in some of youth. And if you can tell all 11 guys what to be doing and where to be going, then you'll definitely know when you just need to worry about what the right tackle is supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
At least that's kind of my working theory.
Sorry, we've got people talking in the chats with who would win between head-to-head between Chippy Ref and Phone Call Ref.
We know the answer to that question, Chippy Ref. Anyway, move on.
Robert McDonald's drive-thru want their mic back. Don't know what that means. Well,
is this not coming out the best, guys? No? Beat up, Murray, let us know.
McDonald's drive-thru want their mic back. That's from Beat Up Murray. So we'll go through a couple of wee things here because before we get started into the games, we've got the people asked for the people's questions and we kind of got the people's statements. So Scotty B says to Rob, are you serious? It's not a good look for anybody.
Yeah. Already addressed that, Scotty B, though, but thanks for your input.
Next one, Sean McVay. One of the most embarrassed moments I've ever seen in a while.
Yeah.
Aside from that, best wishes to Ty.
I've done worse, but thanks for your opinion once again, Sean. Thank you.
And from Kari Adan says, who's your favourite celeb chef?
Well, based off my figure, it's obviously Jamie Oliver. That healthy eating.
What?
I'm joking. It's obviously fucking Gordon Ramsay because he's funny.
Oh, wow. Castley John says, after the forfeit, are the Jets going to forfeit the season or preparing for the rest of the season? Hopefully the latter. Hopefully the latter for me too. Yeah. Hopefully we get guys back. We apparently do have guys for the Giants game. We have enough guys for that. So we're hoping we can get a couple more guys in and hopefully finish the season well enough.
Ty has a couple of spare players if he wants to send them up our way. The old driver.
Sweet.
Not as many as we used to.
John McCardle says, have the Jets given up on everything or just tough games?
Oh.
No, we haven't given up on everything just yet. Just 11, 12 players wasn't enough, the committee thought, to go down, play a game.
I mean, you know my input. I wanted to play it, but I do agree, especially a team like the Mavs, always been hard-hitting. We wouldn't have come out of that game. If we went down with 12 players, I don't think we would have finished the game with a few 11. I just don't. So, but I probably still would have won. I still wanted to play, as you know. I argued it.
Yes.
So,
yes, sure. There's a couple of players that did. Jets players welcome to come to Louth to train and then play. We might have to take you up on that, Declan, but we'll say nothing just yet. But yeah, Ty. We'll talk about a couple of wee games that happened as well. I'm trying to get them up here, sorry. So, week 6, and yes, it is week 6, because it's the 6th week since the season started. So we had the Minotaurs against the Knights. 27-21. I think the Knights were actually up a good bit.
They were up 21 though.
And then the Minotaurs looked like they were coming back to almost snatch it. And then they got a last minute touchdown. Or last quarter touchdown, I think it was, that the Knights got. But what do you think of that game, Ty?
I thought that kind of seen them both play the Panthers. The Knights are just a bit more physical and got the new quarterback kid, got Marty back at Dyke on the outside. So with those two weapons and Liam at quarterback and letting Spencer's kid coming in playing offense, good strong running back, it kind of made sense. Just the depth of talent and size wise, if they can learn to kind of put teams away and continue with that, they'll be a decent team this year.
The Knights looked, we were watching them against the Panthers and they looked really, really good against the Panthers. I mean, I think the scoreline like was a disservice to how they played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, because they did play really, really well. Like, and they are looking well. Like, yeah. I would like for anybody that has them as relegation candidates, they are not. They're they're going for that. They're going for the number one this year.
I think they might have a chance at playoffs. They could be a dark horse as well this year. They played very well against the Panthers, and it should have been closer, if not the Knights winning, to be honest with you. But that's American football, and that is football.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Knights were up 27-0 in the fourth, and then
27-0,
and then the main scores came back up to 21. So it's looking a good game in the last quarter there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the Minotaurs, I think they're 0-2 at the minute, or is that the first game?
No, they lost to the Panthers as well.
The Panthers are a dark horse as well this year, like.
Yeah.
Like they're my wee dark horse. I think they're just gonna just grind out wins.
I think they're definitely better with Goldie back and stuff, and with Coach Owen there, and they've got added a couple guys from Crusaders and stuff. I still think that there's, like, we beat them 61-6 last year, so I still think, and it was 38-6 or something them in UCD last year. But last year they should finish fourth. They only, like, they beat the Trojans to finish fourth, and so the fact that they finished fifth and they'll get the Minotaurs twice in the 5-6 matchup instead of getting Cork twice like Trojans will. Cork and Trojans, they beat them down there, so maybe Trojans will get both, but I think those two will split, or at least they'll play a bunch of tough games against each other. Whereas the Panthers are going to beat up on the Minotaurs twice, and they're, in my estimation, better than those other two teams, talent-wise, slightly. But I think coaching-wise, they used to have a major advantage for Cork and stuff, but I think Coach Owen there, I still think Cork has great coaching, but I think Coach Owen there maybe raises the level. So I would think they would get up, kind of, definitely. You're on to something that they'll be better this year.
Yeah.
For sure.
100%. They're bound to have to be a playoff team this year, like, you know. But it's wide open, like, isn't it? I mean, if you look at the Trojans against the Admirals, Trojans were also getting where they were beaten 14-0, I think. In the half, and then Trojans just came back in the second half and won 21-14. I mean, whenever I seen that score at halftime, I was like, what the fluff is going on in this league now? Like, it's just an emotional roller coaster.
Those two are really on par with each other. They do a lot of schematic things, kind of mirroring each other. So I think that the Trojans are a tiny bit more talented, and Cork is a tiny bit more drilled. And that's kind of where they come head to head, is can the talent overcome or the drilled of some schemes. The Trojans bringing in some special team stuff and whatnot has improved some of those things. So
special teams is very, very important in our league. Like, I mean, there is what we ourselves need to work on it more as well, because they're game changers at times, like special teams.
It's quite hard to work on special teams though, isn't it? Just with because it's such high impact. It's you can't exactly do that, you know, full 100% special teams. So I don't know you guys do it. How would you do it, Ty?
I think an important thing teams need to do is make every team a depth chart the same as a starting offense or a defense of the people that are confirmed at the training sessions, at the practices, so that if it's kick return right, they've repped kick return right 10 times before they get in the game as the right tight end, or as the, you know, lead blocker on it, or as the, you know, all 11 spots. And through multiple weeks of practice, you get several guys repped in there. So you always kind of have that pen and paper of that depth chart that they've all repped it, they've all done it, they've all practiced it. And gotten multiple spots in, and they have the four or five schemes memorized. And you can send those through the groups, because otherwise you're just making shit up on the day and throwing a random kid in there and asking him to do something when the coach might not even know exactly what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, and, all the levels of depths of ways that you could take advantage of things in special teams. But I'd say it's still for us, even the thing that we were like 2-for-6 on 2-point conversions week one and allowed a kickoff return for a touchdown and had a fumble 2-point conversion that went back for 2 the other way. So on 2-point conversions for day, we literally gave them 2 points and we earned 2 points on the whole day and gave up a kickoff return. So like it killed us. And, punting, we probably averaged like 27 yards a punt or something. So it is something that you have to like really hone in on and double down on.
And what way does the Rebels work it with special teams? Do you practice that every week or?
Yeah, we kind of we've kind of tried to include that now, where it's an aspect that we're working on 1 or 2 teams every time, and addressing some. But that would just still be one of the things that I think we need to like get into the most.
Yeah, because I was talking to a coach, and he was telling me that instead of doing a warm up, to have a special teams, just have a kickoff and have them do that instead of warming up.
Yeah, definitely.
So. Seems like a good idea. It needs to be done more because you could just get so many points just from being really good at special teams.
Yeah, executing it.
Yeah, 100%. We did predictions for this, didn't we, lads?
Yeah, boy.
Did you go for the Knights and the Trojans, Robert?
I did, yeah.
You didn't, Curtis.
Did I not go for the Trojans?
You may have went for the Trojans, but I think you went for the Mentors.
Went for the Minotaurs, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have the data. I can't remember.
Yeah. 100%.
There was another one which I lost badly, wasn't there?
No, you went for the Knights and the Trojans, mate, to be fair, because you went for like mostly Northern Irish teams.
Belfast.
All Northern Irish teams. Yeah.
The Razorbacks.
You went for the
well.
Razorbacks and the Giants.
That's the one that didn't work out for me, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. We were actually at the Razorbacks and the Crusaders game, which was 34-0 to the Crusaders. It was 6-0 at halftime. The Razorbacks defense was playing really, really well and keeping them at bay. They were running a lot of the ball in the first half. And then just decided to unleash Jordan Farrell in the second half. And his arms just... It was really, really windy, and I can understand why they were going running the ball the whole time, but his arm's strong enough just to get through that wind.
It was the tail end of that storm, wasn't it?
And it's also weird because it felt like he knew how the ball was going to curl and all. Do you know what I mean? You're like, that's a nice quarterback, like just seeing the ball going boom and then just go straight into the guy's arm, curling around a player and all.
Like quite nice. Curving a bullet.
Like sorry, Liam Jeter says, I love you, Ty.
Thank you, Liam. I love you, too.
So, curling balls around people and all, it was quite a nice sight to see, to be fair. But the outstanding was the defense on Crusaders, who had, I think it was 3 pick sixes, wasn't it? It was 2 pick sixes, and then there was one that was almost a pick six.
Yeah, two pick sixes in a pick.
Yeah. So, the Razorback QB threw into double coverage in 2 plays in a row, I think it was. And, yeah, it's just, guy ran it back home. But
lovely. The Giants and Vipers game was, it was another mud bowl, as they call it. That pitch at the Vale was absolutely waterlogged by the time we get down there. Giants, to be fair to them, they tried to throw the ball a lot, but I think there was 4 picks thrown, maybe 5.
Right.
A lot of fumbles because the ball, the middle of the pitch was very mucky, which then made the ball very mucky, which meant the ball security wasn't the best. A lot of turnovers in that game. So it was, but I thought the Giants were very brave coming out and trying to pass in that weather.
Fair
it was heel, it was the ball was covered in muck. There was, it was a hard day.
Even at the last game, was it as bad as the last game? Were you even at the last game?
I was not at the last game because I told you the weather would be that shit. You just didn't believe me.
Well, it's not that we didn't believe you. We still wanted to go up and watch it because we like American football.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It could have been as bad. I mean, the first quarter of a hailstorm sideways.
Yeah.
Battering us. So, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Did any of those results surprise you, Ty, at all?
No, I kind of thought the Crusaders would have been better. I thought they would have beat the Rhinos if you would have asked me. So I think they were kind of due for that one for sure. Finally, you know, give Wello the ball and stuff. So obviously we're kind of cheering, still cheering for Wello and stuff.
Yeah.
I am. So it's good to see that. And yeah.
We're supposed to meet Wello afterwards. But we had to get back for a train for flip six. So we couldn't stay till the end. Unfortunately.
That Mark one.
I know. Gosh darn it. Next week, this week, Ty, the Rebels go up against the Trojans.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trojans go up against the Rebels without a Ty Henry.
And is this Belfast or Dublin?
Dublin.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think the Trojans only play their last four games at home because due to the rugby. Mm. Still being played at their ground.
Yeah.
I don't know if Rob's frozen.
I have not frozen, mate. I was just—I had nothing more to say. I was really hoping that it was up in Belfast. I was gonna we get up.
That would have been nice to watch. Like, yeah.
Not with it up one to watch it.
Ty, how do you see this match going?
So, I'm never one to, you know, whatever and whatever, but since I've been at the Trojans market really well and stuff like that, but it was 2 years ago, 38-6, and last year it was 60-0 and 56-13.
Damn.
So.
Close games then.
It was 42-0 at halftime in the regular season one.
Damn. So what you're saying is you think the Rebels are going to win this one?
I just think that, I think there are levels to things that sometimes get forgotten.
Yes. It's going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to be all eyes on that at the minute. Like,
yeah.
So there is. That'll be the game.
They
of the
won't
week.
Send us tape or stuff.
Well, nah.
No. And I didn't have a single Trojan text me.
No way. What about the Admirals? Would they not send you tape?
Yeah, Admirals always send me tape.
Yeah.
They all text me. UCD all text me. Panthers all text me. They all share tape. We're supposed to all hate each other. But so, yeah, I think that was, I don't get that. I think that's a bit silly. Because I like a lot of the guys like Mark McGrath. He's their GM and stuff. So they have run a good outfit and stuff. And I think that they're going to have a good season. I think that they're going to end up in the playoffs if I was betting. Yeah, but I believe in all the depth of talent at the Rebels and how many different skill guys we have and our improved line play. Running back like Andre Barlafa has been awesome. We got Fredo and Lou, Jono and Tig and Pauly kind of in the 5-0 linemen. We have a linebacker named Kenny McCarthy that is a freak of nature, running around makes tons of plays. Big DN named Gustavo Souza that picked up the UL quarterback like 3 or 4 times and kind of carried him around the field.
Damn.
So there's a ton of good football players.
Well, that's not something that McFriggin read home about. He's only like 2 foot tall.
So sometimes it's good to whatever, and everyone else is awesome. There's a ton of Dublin Rebels that are going to have a great season.
Yes. So what you're saying is not all about Ty Henry.
Definitely not.
That's it. Ty'll be at the side calling the plays and shouting at you if you don't do them right.
Exactly.
So then we have the UCD against the Vikings.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How do you think that one's going to go?
It's good. Hopefully they keep their heads up after the game and on they can truck into the, see how they do with Westmeath and Knights and stuff.
Yeah. I see this being like a
whatever they choose their scoreboard kind of way and how many rookies they want to get on and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see UCD winning this by a very great margin.
Yeah.
Vikings have a hard start to the season, haven't they?
Yeah.
Very hard.
if you look at playing anybody in that SBC, it's going to be hard to play them.
Like, I know, but they've played the Rebels. You're going to play UCD, they've played Trojans. You know, all the most experienced teams, the guys have all, well, bar UCD, but Rebels and Trojans are the two most successful teams in AFI history, if I'm right. Aren't I? I'm not 100% sure.
Rebels have 10, Trojans have 5. Yeah.
Okay. Not 100% sure, but that's a tough start to a season, especially after getting recently promoted.
Yeah,
so that there, it's more of the last four games of the season for them. Try and get one or two W's and stay up.
Well, that's it. It was promising whenever they drew with the Admirals. But yeah, this is going to be a hard game for them. Yeah,
100%.
It would be if they got scores on the board. That would be a bonus for them. Hopefully we Finn O'Donnell can do something and the guys down there. But I can't see them winning it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Especially that front. That's the toughest front seven, you know, if they play, kind of way.
Mm.
So I wouldn't really know what to tell them to try to do.
Yeah. Try and give the ball to Finn O'Donnell and run like fluff.
Keep him safe for a game and then try to use it in the future.
Yeah. Cowboys against the Eagles. The Eagles coming off an impressive win against the Razorbacks. The Cowboys coming off a draw against the Mavericks. Yep. How do you think this is going to go, Ty?
The Cowboys will win that by about two scores, two-ish, 2-3. Mm. Decent little margin them and the Mavs have over everybody else.
Yeah.
I think the Rhinos and Crusaders will see if they're up there right there with them. And that, yeah, but the next little tier difference kind of thing.
Yeah. I think when the weather stops being shit, it's going to just open up for all these quarterbacks. You know, like the likes of Jordan Fowler can start throwing more and stuff. The likes of all the rest of the quarterbacks can just start throwing the ball instead of handing it off. Because it is hard at the minute with this past week. I would say anybody trying to throw the ball in that weather.
I think I saw that he had like 44 throws though, and they had like 7 run plays. So I'd still say maybe balance that out a tiny bit coming from someone who, you know, probably calls too many passing plays.
Yeah. Pete Lockwood, it's going to be a hard man to stop him from throwing anyway, that's for sure.
Especially when the sun comes out.
How do you see us going, Rob?
I don't see anyone but the Cowboys winning that game. I said there, 2-3 scores, especially if they get the weather for it. It's Peter Lochran's just, I think he threw 6 touchdowns against the Vipers, was it? Remember?
Yeah. Something
just
like
the that. Just the six.
Yeah.
So he's a hard man to stop.
What about you, Curtis?
I'm gonna go Cowboys for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to look past them, isn't it? But I think the Eagles will give them a tight enough wee game because the Eagles' defense isn't too bad either. Like, you know, and there's always the formation that the Eagles use is just hard to judge what they're going to do, sort of thing. So you might see a couple of wee surprises in there.
Is it that wishbone formation they're still using?
Yeah,
is it?
Wishbone. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it is an awkward one. You never know where it's going, to be honest.
So. Jimmy and the boys says, "Is there any chips, Rob?"
Do you know what? I had some Hunter's chicken and chips for dinner. Thanks for asking.
I don't know what Hunter's chips and chicken is.
Hunter's chicken, good mate. Stuff.
What
it's
is
it? Chicken wrapped in bacon with a bit of cheese and barbecue sauce. Lovely.
Ooh, sounds beautiful, Robert. You can bring that to your next ref game, can't you?
I'll try my best, but maybe put it in a bit of bread or something. Be class.
Yeah, put in a wee bit of bread, so you can hold it in your pocket or something.
And a wrap, just...
Maybe get a wee burrito or something with you.
Yep, sounds good.
Yep.
My next game, I'm reffing, is
sponsored by Boojum.
The 16th of June, and it's the night to be someone, so see you there.
Curtis, do you have the mini greyhound as a dog?
Huh?
Do you have a mini greyhound as a dog?
No, he's Jack Russell.
Oh. R. McCardle says Rob turned himself into forever meme. I said this, do you like this? This is good. You're going to be a meme, mate.
I'm okay with it. The next, I'll be more popular than the actual play the next time I'm reffing.
Everybody will be checking to see if you've got any food coming out of your pocket or anything.
I'm going to have to be careful. Like, I'm going to have to go into the fucking changing room to have my lunch or something.
You'll be hiding to eat everything. Yeah, next game, Rhinos against the Crusaders. This is going to be another wee tight game, isn't it? It's not going to be... Hopefully there's more scores in it this time. Ty, do you think?
I think that the Crusaders will win by a touchdown at the end. Anyway, close, back and forth, defense, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What about yourself, Rob?
Well, I went Cruise first time. I don't know, but didn't see much of the game. There wasn't much video footage that came from it. If the pitch down at the West Dublin Rhinos is the same as it was last season, I could have had an impact on all forms of play, I suppose, but I would still go Crusaders.
What about you, Kurt?
Yeah, going to go Crusaders in this one too.
Oh, wow. See, I don't know. This is the thing, right? I have the Rhinos to win the division because I feel like they're my wee dark horse in Division 1. And then I can't say no to my wee mate Wello and Jordan Farrell. They're nice guys, but then I also, you know, Skelly and I was talking to them. They're good guys, but I can't just pick people on being good guys. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go Rhinos. I'm going to go Rhinos because I have them to win the division as my wee dark horse. So I'm going to go Rhinos against the Crusaders.
You say you're not a gambling man, but you love picking a dark horse. You always
I like a wee dark horse, mate. You know what I mean? You have to go for a wee dark horse, you know what I mean? Or else it just gets boring.
Like even during the Super Bowl there, you picked what, the Packers? And who was the other bet you put on?
The Packers did me well, you know what I mean? They were going to get me $6.5 grand if they had won that. You know what I mean?
Packers and Steelers to win the Super Bowl. Right.
I know. Jammin. And the boy says you should be banned from reffing. Don't be saying that to him because it's hard to get refs. Jamming, Jamie. Do you know what I mean? It is hard to get refs, like, and he's the only one that steps up. So if he's hungry, you know, we'll give him a wee biscuit or something.
You know what?
It's opinion. The prime of the century. Like,
opinions are like arseholes. Every one has one. So enjoy.
And they all stink.
True.
That's it. Hey. And then we also had the Mavericks against the Jets, where the Mavericks, I reckon, the Mavericks are going to win that 30-0.
By 6 scores, yeah. 5 scores, that's awful.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know why I didn't. God forbid a man has some scran on the sideline. FA memes. You know, isn't that right? You know, God love the man.
It's good to know they're here to defend me, since they spent all that shit my way. Thanks.
What happens if the Rhinos hold Wello to minus rushing yards and the Crusaders to one passing touchdown again?
Well, then they hold Wello to minus rushing yards and the Crusaders to one passing touchdown.
That means they're not. We need to do something else scheme wise.
Yeah.
Get Wello the ball in space or something.
100%.
Well, Wello had one play put on his Instagram. It was a receiving play. He got about 10 yards on it. It was a flat pass. Or a wheel, I think, something like that, anyway.
Well, the Razorbacks were very good against the run game. They weren't overly great on passing. But they were really, really good in stopping the run, though. To be fair, they did hold well to, like, minimal yards, to be fair. So, do you know what I mean? But free chips for officials. Lots of MMA says. I'm sorry, Ty, you've been brought into this here circus at the minute. Hopefully, we could have had a better conversation, but don't. Unfortunately, this is what we came into yesterday. Yeah, Jamie and the boy says Wello was washed. I don't agree with that. Do you agree with that, Ty?
No. Wello's not washed. Wello's just a dad, so he just has to do other things sometimes. But he's still big, strong, fast, tough. He knows what he's doing. So I joined the Rebels because Wello sent me a message, essentially. So we go back to the start. So I always have Wello's back.
Yeah, he's a good lad. I like Wello. Reason I didn't get to see him.
Some hating happening in there from Wello. It's a bit rude.
Somebody says Wello's washed. Somebody says Ty loves chips. It's fine. Wello about to bless him. Somebody says, more likely to cause the Crusaders to fold than win a championship.
That's the same guy that said Wellows washed.
Yeah.
He's not.
But
like,
to be fair, Jimmy's been giving you a pile of shade too, so he just mustn't like people.
He just wants to watch the world burn. That's why he's getting
just
no
wants to watch
picture.
The world burn. Lotso says, Wellow's the GOAT. KZ says, Wellow about to show you all game. And Greg says, haha, Wellow's far from washed.
He's getting some love now, so he is. There you are, look.
There you
Wellow's
go.
A beast. Anyone who says Wellow's washed just doesn't know ball.
Yeah, we still knew that he was super good last year. He was just so busy being a dad and working a new job and new dad, new life, new this. So he lived out in Kildare. It wasn't, you know. We
100%. Like,
I think he had 2 years ago, I think he had 14 rushing touchdowns. He led the Premier Division 14 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, did he not get that he got MVP for the Shamrock Bowl? Was that 2 or 3 years ago, was it?
Yeah, a couple years before that, he was Shamrock Bowl MVP when they beat, I think, the Trojans 1 year. The Trojans' year, Conrad won it, and the year they beat the Knights, Wellow got MVP.
Yep, AFI Means even says, anyone who says Wellow is washed just doesn't know ball.
Yeah.
Which is true.
He talks a lot of shit to himself, but he's still a good football player and
he's
has always been a good
like...
football player. Yeah, he's just talking shit to himself. They just don't get Wellow's personality.
R. McArdle says, why'd he leave the Rebels? I think you just said that, didn't you?
Yeah, he lives right, you know, over in Kildare.
Yeah, he's now a family man, lives in Kildare. Kildare's closer. So.
Yeah, it was just tough. He could never, like, get the training, couldn't get the sessions. And also, when you kind of have the depth that we have at back, you're like, yeah, obviously you're freakishly talented, but these guys have never missed a session. I need to play all these guys.
Nope, Jimmy's trying to start some poop. I'm not even going to say that one.
Shit, like.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Anything to be said for limiting panel size in the Premier to try and spread talent around to build the league?
That's an interesting idea. There's a league in Australia where every year they put the players all into a thing. They play every match at the same hub center. And the players get resent into different teams each year.
That would be amazing.
It's called the Mackie Gridiron League. It's, yeah, so they kind of do a similar thing, but then the whole rest of the country is all club-based, but it's even more unbalanced and stuff than here, as far as the different levels and sizes of clubs.
Yeah, no, I would love that. That would be great for us right now, like, to be fair. Like,
yeah.
It would be so nice.
Razorbacks could send, you know, something like 100 players our way or something.
It's just an area of attachment areas and resources and coaches. And, you know, some clubs would have huddle. Some would never even heard of that. Some are getting coached by coaches that coach the national team. Other guys are getting coached by guys
Is huddle the camera before?
Yeah, that's where the film goes. So it has each play, and then you can put you can put everything. You can put, so I can put all the information from every team's games or our games and say, I want to see every time that they ran trips right, what plays did they run?
You can do that then?
You can do that. You can do every time that they're on this hash. You can do every time it's 3rd and 7, what play do they run? Every time they're in the red zone, what play do they run? So that's what, you know, college and NFL teams do, where they would know every tendency on a tendency of a tendency. We're here.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be trying to play into a tendency to get someone to adjust to it, but you'll realize this team doesn't watch film. They're not even adjusting to something that I've been trying to get them to set up to adjust to for 4 weeks.
Damn.
Stuff like that. So when the resources levels and coaching levels are that much different, I will say it's a lot higher in the Premier. It's going deeper because I think more clubs are associated with the national team now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of permeating out of the national team runs a lot of this play and this play and this play. And so now we're seeing 6 or 7 clubs run those plays fairly effectively. And they all kind of are mirroring each other. And you can tell copycatting each other. So if I've put in this, you know that it'll come soon there. Or UCD did their outside zone like this. So now all of a sudden we're going to run ours that way. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's making it better, but it'll keep growing from here. But until all clubs kind of have that level base playing field, it's going to be tough.
Well, that's it. It all comes down to money and players, doesn't it, really? Like,
yeah, to reinvest the money in the players,
you can
stuff.
Throw it in there, you know.
Catchment areas.
I know, anyway. I know. We may have to move area if we can't get any more players.
See, I live in Mornington, so I'm basically, it's 50 minutes this way to the Mavericks, and it's 50 minutes that way to any of the Dublin clubs. And so I kind of just sat here in the middle, like, I could start my own, but the catchment area, I don't think any, you know, it would take you years to ever do anything.
I know where you could come up and coach Ty if you're interested in changing teams.
See, that's like an hour 20.
No, we will make it worth your while. We're all past cheesy chips.
Yeah, that's a lot of chip fuel.
You shouldn't have told people it was a cheesy chip. Maybe that's just gonna set the fire off again.
What do you mean it's a cheesy chip? You don't just get a plain chip, Robert.
I know, it's just that
you either get a gravy chip, a cheesy chip, or a curry chip. You don't just go in and go, what sort of madman goes in and just goes, can I have a chip?
Can I have a bag of chips, please?
Yeah, bag of chips. No, yeah. Need to have sauce or something on it. You know what I mean? Going and just ordered chips. A lot of people thought you had a burger.
I could have probably had that by the time I'd got to the sideline and not had this issue, but here we are.
Yeah? Yeah, you could have just had a burger and fucking scoffed it, kept in your pocket. No, you needed a chip.
Fucking chippy.
You needed to have the fucking plastic thing right there so everybody's seen.
Aye. Yeah. Oh, well. Done now. There's IFA chips, means again.
Chippy ref. Yep. Lotso says Ty's game is outrageous. Or game IQ is outrageous. Yes. I would love to have him coach up in the north, yeah. Not a problem. He is more than welcome. Ty. You know that?
We'll put stuff in. Maybe you can coach at multiple levels.
Sweet. We've got loads of chips, it's grand. You know what I mean? There'll be no chips for refs and Mullingar, devastating. That's it. You should be going around places and all. Hey, do you want a chip? Just so I don't look bad.
I'm good.
You could review all the chips available at all the games.
Oh my god, yes. Deal. Nice. Make sure you got a chippy van.
Go to every chippy van at the games and go, this was a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
This one like took too long. I had to go back and ref a game with these ones.
Like Rick Shields does at the halfway house in his videos on YouTube. He has a sausage roll in every golf course he's on.
Then
he rates it 1 to 10.
AFA meme says, to be fair, how are refs meant to get the ref physique without sideline munch?
Exactly. I'm only looking after my figure.
He's been training for that ref physique for a long time, hey? Even before he was refing.
I was in great shape at one point.
No, but sure. When you were 2 years old, that doesn't count.
2020, just before COVID hit. Fuck you.
No, you weren't. Anyway. I knew you then.
Yes, I was.
You've always been round.
I was down to 16 and a half stone, and I was in a good shape. Screw you.
Round is a shape, to be fair. Sorry. I'm keep trying to... You can't tell me Ralph never indulged in a side time chip. Who's Ralph?
That must be one of the Viking boys, I never even noticed. Oh, it is, yeah. No, that's my name from my Viking festival days, Ralph.
Oh, right. That's right.
That's
you were a Viking once. Yeah.
Way back in the day.
But, Ty, thank you very much, as always, for coming on. You've been an absolute gem. And thank you for dealing with Chipgate.
Yeah, Chipgate 2024.
Yeah, we'll never forget this time. It'll be a meme forever.
Good times.
Yeah. So, but thank you for everybody who came in to watch the show, and we will be back next week with another Around the FI. See you later.